Welcome, everyone. This is Russ Gazel, Chronicles of the End Times. So glad to be with you today as we move on to chapter 20 of Revelation. I'm very excited about this particular podcast and the ones that are to follow concerning this subject, because there's so much here that is not just futuristic, but things that we need to understand living today in our lives and how it will build our faith and strengthen our understanding of what God has for us. So let's dig right in. Chapter 20, let's read a little bit. We're going to take this in sections because there's a lot of references that I want to use in the Gospels and in the letters of Paul that will help us and clarify all these different questions that we might have, that many people have, about the resurrection and about who goes and about the rapture of the church. Is it real? With God's help, we're going to bring a little clarification today. So let's go. I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, the ancient serpent, who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations any more until 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. I saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge, and I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or his image. They had not received his mark on their foreheads and on their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and will reign with him for 1,000 years. So at this point in the timeline, we have the Antichrist and the false prophet have been thrown into the lake of fire. The enemies of God have been defeated, and the world is at the point where the beginning of the restoration is coming. And so we see an angel who goes down, grabs a hold of the ancient serpent, the devil, and casts him into the abyss and locks it over him. And it's interesting that he's going to have to be let out again for a short period of time in the future. And we're going to get to that. But for now, let's take a look at this resurrection. So now Satan is bound. He's not going to be released for 1,000 years. This is the millennial reign of Christ that we're in, where Jesus himself rules and reigns from Jerusalem over the earth. We see these who have been tortured and murdered because of their stand for Jesus, that they would not take the mark, they would not worship the beast, they would not worship Satan. Here, they come to life. Now, we know the scripture tells us clearly that to be absent from the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. What does it mean when they say they come alive? Here, they receive their glorified bodies. That's the only explanation. We know that the scripture is very, very clear on that. That's one of the foundation stones of our faith, is that once we pass on from this life, we go right to the presence of God. So these souls have already been in the presence of God, and now they receive their glorified bodies, and they reign with Christ for 1,000 years. It is clear in the next verse that the rest of the dead did not come to life until 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. So let's take a quick look at the term first fruits. There's a lot we can get into that in the Old Testament. But for now, we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to read verse 20. Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own turn, Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. So each in his own turn. So we know that Christ is the beginning of the first fruits of the resurrection. It's the promise that God has made to us. Christ has risen from the dead, so we shall also. Jesus was given a glorified body, and so we shall have a glorified body. Jesus did everything that he wants us to do. He demonstrated everything. He fleshed everything out, how we were supposed to live. Everything he did was teaching us how we are supposed to live, how we are supposed to believe, how we are supposed to obey the Father. So he demonstrated his glorified body. One of the many reasons that he stayed 40 days appearing to the apostles and others. He showed them, I can eat, I can drink. Look, touch me. Feel the flesh and the bones, but there was no blood. It's a whole different creation that God has for us. This glorified body is beyond our ability to describe it. Although Jesus did declare it and demonstrate it to us, so we would know what it's going to be like. He could walk through walls. He could appear anywhere he wanted to. Time and distance meant nothing. It's a whole dimension that we're not acquainted with, but we will be when we receive our glorified bodies, each in his own turn. And this is something that can become very confusing. Those of us who believe that there will be a rapture and that it'll be either pre-trib or close to pre-trib, understand the difference between the bride and the rest of the world. The bride is the one who has been betrothed. We've talked about that in the past. Betrothal is a very sacred thing in the Old Testament. Through the blood of Jesus Christ and through walking after him, God keeps us. That's the bride of Christ. Now, there are many more, millions upon millions, that John couldn't even number in Revelation chapter 7 that were saved, that refused to take the mark of the beast. And these are the ones we see right here, who have been beheaded, that have been killed because of their testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, they've been in heaven as soon as they die, but now they receive their glorified bodies. And John here in this revelation describes to us that this is the first fruits. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. Why? Because the second death, which is the lake of fire, has no power over them. Those of us who have been taken in the first resurrection, that includes the rapture of the church, that includes those who now get their glorified bodies, who have died through the tribulation period, given their lives for Christ, they receive their glorified bodies. And this concludes the first resurrection. The next paragraph talks about after the 1,000 years. I want us to understand the difference. So let's look at what Jesus had to say about it. The Gospel of John, chapter 14. We're going to start with verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. Some versions say mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. This is so important. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. He's not just saying, you know, when you die, I'm going to come back for just you guys. No, he's telling all of us. He said, in my Father's house, all are welcome. There are many rooms, there are many places, dwelling places in my Father's house for those who love me. That's what he's saying. If I'm going to prepare that place for you, I'm also going to come back and take you with me to where I am so you can be with me. This is the rapture of the church. It's a catching away and meeting Jesus in the air and him taking us to his Father's house. This is so important. The wedding feast of the bride is not then, it's afterwards. It's when he comes back to the earth. That's when the wedding feast for the Lamb and the bride is. Now, it's also important to know that in this catching away, the rapture of the church, Paul tells us plainly that we will not precede those who have died in Christ. They will rise first and we will follow instantaneously. And we find that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. This is encouragement for us, that the bride of Christ will be called home. Then the Lord will begin to deal with Israel, which is the heart and soul of the tribulation. God is going to bring Israel back. He's going to restore them, and he's going to keep his promises he made to Israel. And we should all be thankful that God keeps his promises, because we've all gone astray. We've all had our problems. Now, this is not to say, and I've said this before, that we're not going to suffer persecution. The church is suffering persecution all over the world. In parts of Africa right now, there's thousands of people being slaughtered because they believe in Jesus Christ. In Nigeria especially, citizens of that country that have given their lives to Christ, and they're being killed on a daily basis. Do some research and look into that, and I pray that the Lord will put on your hearts to pray for them and others around the world. We may be secluded here in the U.S., but the division between God's people and the pretenders, that line is drawn in the sand already. And if you're not aware of it, you need to be. He's sifting his church, those that are going to follow him and those who decide they're going to go their own way or modify the gospel to fit their lifestyle. So enough said about that right now. But I want us to understand this is not a free ride. As some people depict the rapture as, you know, we're getting out, we're escaping. That's not true. There's going to be an amazing amount of persecution coming to the church in the coming years. Jesus said, all those who live in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Keep in mind, persecution comes from the pseudo-church, comes from the world, it comes from the devil. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, Paul tells us that God has not appointed us to wrath. Enough said about that. Let's move on. The glorified body of Christ, as we get back to that for a moment, it's such an amazing promise to us that we're just not going to float around in the spirit world. God has made this world. It's beautiful. Even though we do our best to destroy it, this is a beautiful world that he gave us. Even in the midst of everything that's going on, and the wars and all the things that have scarred it, and all the blood that's been spilt, still, many of us can get up in the morning and look outside and appreciate the beauty that God has created. So Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is trying to explain the glorified body to us. Our bodies cannot inherit eternal life. Our spirits can. We are born again. We can enter into the kingdom of God as soon as we pass on. But our bodies can't. So Paul explains to us why. So it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, but it is raised a spiritual body. He says, if there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. When that rapture comes, we will be clothed in our supernatural bodies. And in chapter 20, Revelation, we see that those who have been beheaded, those who have been killed during the tribulation for living for Jesus, they get their glorified bodies now. This completes the first resurrection. It begins with the resurrection of Jesus Christ and many others who rose from the dead. An amazing event happened at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's described in Matthew chapter 27. Beginning with verse 51. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open, and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. So that's the beginning of the first fruits. And it goes on to the rapture of the church and to those now who are receiving their glorified bodies who have given their lives for Christ during the tribulation period. Now, there's so much here that we're going to have to break this into another podcast, I'm afraid. But let's just look a little further before we stop. Let's go to verse 7 of Revelation chapter 20. When 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. In number they are like the sand of the seashore. They march across the breadth of the earth and surround the camp of God's people, the city he loves. But fire came down from heaven and devoured them, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night, forever and ever. We see this Gog and Magog a few times mentioned in the Bible. Each time, it's a different battle. It's not one and the same. And we'll get into that in another podcast because the details are vastly different. But why does God do this? It's just amazing how merciful he is. And you could be saying, well, what do you mean merciful in this case? Because 1,000 years of him ruling and reigning on the earth, and we're going to talk about the millennial reign in depth in the next podcast, being in his presence, the earth being restored over this 1,000-year period, people being treated fairly, the devil is locked up. So we can't blame the devil for everything. It's the flesh. These people decide we're going to rise up. Even though 1,000 years have been beautiful with God restoring the earth, bringing peace to people's lives, they hate it. They are ready to bolt at the first opportunity to revolt against God. And so to prove that, the Lord releases the devil. All he does is gather them together. They already have all the motive they want. The devil just pulls them all together, just like he did at the Battle of Armageddon. Only this time, there's no great battle. This time, fire falls from heaven and devours them instantly, which ushers us into a whole new realm where the dead are judged. And we're going to get into that next time. I hope this helps you a little bit. I know it can get confusing, but know this, our God is fair. Our God is loving and kind. He's just. And he wants that none should perish, but all should come to eternal life. It's important for us to know all these things. Sometimes we want to block them out of our minds and say, I don't need that. You know, I just want to focus on Jesus. And that's good. That's a good way to be. But knowledge is power. It's good to understand that the cross of Jesus Christ is not something that God just threw in there. It's a vital piece to our salvation. It's the only way. It's the door. It's the forgiveness. It's the restoration of human life. It's eternity. And it's what God has provided for us, that we might be with him and be in his Father's house and then rule and reign with him on this earth for 1,000 years and eternities to come. Love you all. Keep listening. If you haven't had opportunity, download Hidden Thrones Book 1, only 99 cents on Amazon in the Kindle version. And I pray that the series will encourage you and strengthen you in your faith. This is Russ Gausel of Chronicles of the End Times. God bless. Keep looking up. The King is coming.